Let us pray. May the ears of our mind and the eyes of our heart be open, that we might know thee and live the living word that speaks now for us. In the name of Christ, amen. Back when my daughter was a little girl, I was tucking her in one night, and she said with a sigh, "I feel like I want to go home." And I said, "We are home. You're in your bedroom. These are all your stuffed animals. You are home." "Well," she said, "I feel like I want to go home." I said, "Are you feeling homesick? Maybe for the home that we used to live in?" She said, "No, it's not that. I don't know. I just feel like it feels when you want to go home." That was a sacred moment for me. Beautiful, sad. A child entering into that realm of yearning for something that they can't fully name, you know? But this is what it feels like. Something like home. More than that, home was her name for it. What's your name for it? We call it all kinds of different things. We call it by different names. Have you ever wanted something that you can't really name? We sometimes try to give it a name. The sense of belonging. Deep connection. Peace. Harmony. Oneness with all that is. Oneness with God. And none of those expressions can fully describe the nameless ultimate ache inside of us that we feel from time to time. It's something that we long for, and in many ways we can't name it at all. The psalmist describes it as a great thirst. Isn't that beautiful? "My soul is thirsty for God," he says. It's like a deer panting for water. And he gives us this beautiful picture of a deer thirsty for water. "As a deer longs for the flowing streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God." My soul is thirsty for God. It's a striking image. The human soul as a deer in the wilderness, panting for water. She comes to the stream bed, but it's dry. She lifts her head and her nostrils are searching for the smell of water. And she's panting. Folks, thirst is not about refreshment here. This is about survival for the deer. If she can't find water, she will die. The psalmist says, that's the situation of my soul. If I can't quench it, whatever it is that I call this God, whatever it is, if I can't quench it, surely I will die. Bless him for knowing it and naming it. Most of us don't. Most of us bury that true deep longing that we have down deep inside. We bury it underneath the lesser cravings. We bury it underneath the fake desires. All this stuff that we think that we want and need. Pleasures, prestige, a better job, a better boss, other people's praise, better looks, a better group of people to be with, a Much of it's sort of a counterfeit craving, isn't it? I mean, the unconscious, tacky replacement of what we really need, we find it's a distraction from the deepest, most haunting need that we have in our lives, and many of our desires certainly are understandable and justified. I get that. But are all of our desires worthy of our effort? Even with those that are justified, I really think if you peel them back, underneath, there's a yearning for something more. There's a yearning for God more fully in our lives. And whether you acknowledge it or don't, though I can't prove it, it seems like this is something that is pretty much universal for all of us. It's among more people than you and I can guess. And it's covered up in all kinds of different ways. It's a conscious desire. And there is in us this awakened sense of this longing for God in our lives. I was struck by something I read not long ago. The American poet Christian Wiman wrote these words, and this is what he writes: "There is an enormous contingent of thoughtful people in this country who, though they are frustrated with the language and forms of contemporary American religion, nevertheless, they feel that burn of being that drives us out of ourselves, that insistent, persistent gravity of a ghost called God." Did you hear that? Burn of being? I'm here for a reason, aren't I? Isn't there a purpose to my life that's bigger than just me? The thirsty longing for more, isn't that beautiful? It must be something more than just all this. Surely. Something that most of us feel, at least when we're paying attention to what our truest selves are trying to tell us. It's in our bones, which is why the image of this human soul thirst as a thirsting animal is perfect, because thirst is probably one of the most primal, immediate, vulnerable drives for all of us, isn't it? The first thing an infant can do is what? Drink. Must do other than breathe. And very often the last thing that a dying person asks for is what?
Water.
So with Jesus, who is dying, groaned, "I am thirsty." And when we hear that, do we really think that that's the true need of Christ? That this is just a man dying and needing hydration? Really? Or maybe it's connected to what else he said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am thirsty. As the deer longs for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. The Son of God parched with the need for God. Really? Yes. Because everybody is. Most of all those who have past experience with God. How does it happen that our sense of God goes dry as dust? Sometimes I think it's because we betrayed something. We grew self-absorbed or dishonest or perhaps greedy, and we sinned without repentance and we dried up. I've seen it. It happens for other reasons too. There can come a great loss to our lives, long seasons of disappointment, sadness, fatigue, any of that and more can grind you down to dust. And your soul dries up. But I think there's another way. And it's something that happens that I'm not so sure we're aware of. It comes by growing old. by outgrowing our earlier sense of God. Life happens to you, your experience of the world and of other people, and you're growing up, and they bring you far from that earlier, easier conception of God that you had as a child. And what you have gained is also a kind of loss. Is God lost to you now? Have you become so hurt or so angry or so bitter at life and people? And has God grown so vast and impersonal that there's no room for Him now in your life? It's like the two brothers that were out on a camping trip and they were getting ready to lay down to go to bed. And one brother paused and opened his Bible and read some scripture, prayed some prayers, and the other brother looked on. And when his brother had finished praying, he said to him, "You still do that?" You still do that? As if he'd grown beyond it. Maybe you're at the place where you want to cry with the psalmist, "When will I see the face of God again?" Deep calls to deep. When shall I see God's face again? Or maybe for the first time. In the words of the parched prayer of Gerhard Manley Hopkins, "O thou Lord of life, send my roots some rain. Send my roots some rain." It's a prayer that love has already answered, folks. Answered for us in the one whom the world long awaited and is still awaiting. The Son of Mary, the Son of God, say to him, "My soul is thirsty for God, the living God." And he will answer, "I was thirsty too." So come to me, all of you who thirst. And you will find in your innermost being water flowing up, and you will never thirst again. And then go on to ask, "When will I see the face of God?" And perhaps a voice will reply, "Look to the face of the Christ child, and you shall see the face of God." Look in the face of the child born to Mary. Look in the face of the Christ child. And there you will find the living God. So during this Christmas season, may I ask you to look more deeply into that face, perhaps than you have before. More will be revealed. And then go on to ask, "When will I see the face of God?" And perhaps a voice will say, "Look into the face of your neighbor. And see the struggles and the difficulties and the challenges of life that they are facing. And you shall see the face of God." Our faith and our experience is that to give ourselves to the living Christ will quench our soul. In part, it's because the Christ Himself was the living thirst for God made flesh with us, the little thirsty infant in the manger, the dying thirsty Savior on the cross. He's the giver of life. Isn't he? So we trust our longing to him, and we give thanks for all that he's already given to us. And as we pray that he might fill our desire, my hope for you is that your desire, your innermost desire, may be filled. And this is the season of Advent. And at the moment, it doesn't really feel like the time to rejoice over all our fulfillments. I hope you'll pay closer attention to your longings. I hope that you'll ask more thoughtfully, what is it that we've been wanting? What is it that we really desire in our lives? And folks, if you're wanting things that are too small or false or faithless, will you let those go? So that you can seek the real desire of Christ. Beneath it all, your soul is like a deer longing for streams of living water, and it's important that you befriend the thirsty animal within you. Trust her. Treat her gently. Let her teach you, for she's your soul longing for the living God. And folks, don't pretend that all is well with you. It's not. Not yet. And let's not live as if all is well with the world. Because it's not. Not by a long shot. Not yet. And so let's don't conclude our experience or non-experience of God to date as it ought to be or can be. Let your longing be awakened. Let the inner burn of being be rekindled during this Christmas season, that you yearn for more, that you strongly look for Christ in new ways and see God in new ways, that you reclaim your highest desire and praying and live into it, act it out, in showing God's love to others. Live your life as a cup lifted up and let Christ fill it. Asking, waiting, expectant, and honestly willing to say with the psalmist, "Why are you so sad, my soul? Trust in God, have hope, so that I may again give praise to the living God." On December 26, not so many years ago, early in the morning, there were two of us sitting on my couch at home. I was sitting on one side of the couch, and as I'm normally there, reading a book. But Ian was on the other side of the couch. He was my early riser, along with me. And he was a little listless. He was playing with a toy that he'd opened the day before. I watched. And finally he said, "I wish Christmas weren't over." And I said, in my positive self, "But it's not really over yet. I mean, we still have all the Christmas toys to play with and enjoy, and we've got our Christmas trip, and don't you know it's a season? There are 12 days of Christmas." And he looked at me and he said, "It's the waiting that I miss." He knew. Good news. The waiting isn't over. We're still waiting. Aren't we? And our privilege and our calling is to find the longing of Christ within our longing too. always burning to move toward the one who is our truest desire, always wanting more of Christ, wanting more to live more fully into who He is and wants us to be, and expecting more from this Christ who pours out His love upon us. And we will keep waiting until the day comes and thirst for God in you is no more. And our world will keep waiting until the world is satisfied with God's perfect peace. At last. Amen.